one can say that implicitly in their scriptures, they're indicating that there is a path, a bodhisattva path for achieving that. Therefore, it appears that for select trainees, among whom there were both humans and gods, Buddha set forth the path of the bodhisattva vehicle. For instance, Buddha set forth the middle turning of the wheel of doctrine at the vulture peak. In the scriptures of the perfection of wisdom, it is said that Buddha set forth the perfection of wisdom sutras on Vulture Peak to trainees, many trainees who were humans, gods, demigods, and so forth. However, when you go to Vulture Peak itself, it is a fact that only about 10 or 15, maybe maximum of 15 people could fit on Vulture Peak itself. Therefore, it is the case that this teaching appeared to trainees whose karma was pure. It appeared to their perception.
Due
to the fact that there were these debates about whether the scriptures of the great vehicle were the word of Buddha or not, many masters such as Maitreya in his ornament for the scriptures of the great vehicle, Nagarjuna in his precious garland, Bhava Viveka in his heart of the middle way, blaze of reasoning. I left out one. And Shantideva in his engaging in the bodhisattva deeds set forth proofs that the scriptures of the great vehicle were actually spoken by Buddha. However, it is something that is not clear in the popular histories. I think it's probably a case of that. And then, even more so, the Tantra was something that was not set forth in general in public. But was set forth individually for persons whose mental continuums had ripened to that level. Therefore, this sort of teaching was set forth in terms of the visions of persons whose karma and so forth had ripened to this unusual degree, thus Therefore, these teachings are something that could occur while Buddha was still alive or could occur after the Buddha's death.
So, history is a quote, 상황 나가면서 사는 거예요.
Thus, these are events and so forth that aren't recorded in the popular histories.
나와는 근데 당시에서 그랬었나?
So then, how can one analyze this?
다 들어야 좀더 시시해야 돼. 나 뒤시시는 가사를 믿는 최대. 최대야 책을 믿는 단어대. 단어대야 장전을 믿는 예전대. 예전대야 남실을 믿는 이실대였어요.
Then with regard to this, there are set forth the four reliances. The first being not to rely on the person, but to rely on the doctrine. Then in terms of the doctrine, not to rely on the word, but to rely on the meaning. In terms of the meaning, not to rely on the meaning that requires interpretation, but that which is definitive. Then with respect to the definitive meaning, not to rely on conceptual consciousnesses, but to rely on non-dual exalted wisdom. Therefore, one is to analyze the doctrine by way of the four reliances in order to determine whether that doctrine is deceptive or not. And if it's found to be non-deceptive, to make use of it. Therefore, with regard to this, it is important to make a difference between the thought of the speaker and the thought of the thought of what was actually spoken. It is in this sense that the prasangika system represents the thought of the speaker, and that the uncommon tenets of the other schools represent the thought of what was spoken in particular at particular times. What I've been talking about are general attitudes or perspectives of investigation that somebody engaging in Buddhist study should have. This is because if you take just one page and just memorize it and take its meaning, then when you come to some other page, you will get very confused. This is the reason why we have put up these five tankas of the six ornaments of the world and the two supreme persons, because these were the persons that opened up the way to make these sorts of differences. So if I just mention a little bit, this is Nagarjuna
and Aryadeva, his disciple.
And Aryadeva.
These two, saint scholars, their main work on philosophy, the emptiness. According to Madhyamaka, the highest interpretation. Now here, the Arya Asanga and Basubandhu, these two, these two work where, their work mainly the moral ethical side and the Kasuta Tabishara.
The class of method.
Rather than the theoretical theory. Some of the dissolved ten, perhaps I was like a word. Dissolved ten. I mean, you see, there, as far as the theory is concerned, you see, they mainly follow Chitta Mantra. So, you see, we believe the Madhyamaka philosophy is best, so we cited this site and, how to say, critical debate with these two pandits, two scholars. Then the other is one Dignak and Dharmakirti. These two are great logicians, Buddhist logician. See, all the Buddhist logic completely based, you see, Dignak's, I mean, logic, and further expansion by the Dharmakirti. You see, without these two, two great men, you see, work, the Buddhist logic may be a no matter.
Have no sharpness.
Like that. Then the other two, Gunabhava, Veda, Yandere, Shagyare. Shagyabhava, Gunabhava. These two set mainly conduct, the Vinaya Sutra, conduct, how to behave, how the monk, you see, how to become a monk, what sort of way of life for monk, these things are set by these two. So really, our ancient, ancient scholar.
Now I'm up to the actual topic for the day, which is that of the Four Noble Truths.
The Four Noble Truths share the tell ya any kanda junde ni share. Gune nyomu chog junde chig da namjan chog junde chig share.
The Four Noble Truths contain explanations of two sets of cause and effect, one being cause and effect within the afflicted class of phenomena, and the other being cause and effect within the purified class of phenomena. Now, why is it that cause and effect is set forth here? It is because we want happiness and do not want suffering. Because we want happiness, the cause and effect of the purified class of phenomena set forth. And because we do not want suffering, the cause and effect of the afflicted class of phenomena is explained.
When
cause and effect are set forth, when these two groups of cause and effect are set forth, they can be set forth either in terms of their temporal sequence, cause first and effect second, or in terms of the process of realizing them. Maitreya, in his ornament for clear realization, set forth these in terms of the of temporal sequence, setting forth the sources of suffering and the paths out of suffering first, and then set forth the two effects of those. This is the mode of procedure of the temporal sequence of cause first and effect second.
However,
Maitreya, in his sublime science set forth the Four Noble Truths in the order of their realization. So here suffering is set forth first,
then the cause of the suffering, then the cessation, then the path in order to achieve cessation.
This is the mode of procedure in terms of the consciousness that realizes.
That is the
For instance, if we use an example, suffering is like a sickness. In order to engage in a technique for overcoming the sickness, one first has to identify what the sickness is. If you think that the sickness is a source of happiness or is very comfortable, very pleasant, you won't engage in any means to overcome it.
First, you should realize the illness. Once you realize that, now you do not want any more suffering, then you will investigate what is the real cause of that illness. Therefore, now second, the cause of suffering come. Then, you see, though, you see,
Even though when you identify what the sickness or suffering is, at that time you have a wish to get rid of that sickness, because at that time you still have not identified the root or causes of that sickness and suffering, you can't have the confident wish to overcome it.
Once you found the real cause of the illness, and then you see, you have the confidence. Now I can get rid of that suffering, that illness. So the cessation, now this is, after knowing the main cause of the suffering, then you have the confidence, now I can achieve cessation, or the nasatavati.
We can, the cure of that illness.
Once you know the suffering nature and the cause of the suffering, and then the nature of the cessation, then
then one investigates what the path for that is and enters into that path. When you see that the illness can be cured, then one seeks the medicine for curing it. And even if you have to undergo an operation, you are willing to undergo the hardship in order to bring about the cure.
You see, in order to get better or bigger benefit, you sacrifice which is smaller one. That is the, you see, nature law, something like that. So
now with regard to the four truths, 16 attributes of them are explained. Then what is the reason for explaining these topics in such great detail? In the Buddhist interpretation, the root of suffering comes from ignorance.
Oh yeah.
And the destruction of ignorance is to be brought about by analytical wisdom. Then in terms of the way in which analytical wisdom researches or investigates its object, there are set forth the six modes of research or investigation. One is to investigate the meaning of words, that is to say, word by word, what the meaning of it is. Then the second is to investigate the class of the phenomenon in terms of whether it is internal or external. Then the next is to investigate the character of phenomena. This means the particular character of a phenomenon, or the general or its general character. This sort of analysis is being engaged in because one with a purpose, because there's something that can be done.
But
it's not being done because there isn't anything that can be done about these topics. Then thus the next type of research or investigation is into the class of the phenomenon in terms of figuring out where favorable qualities are and where unfavorable qualities lie. And the next is to investigate time. This is because the change of things must depend on times. On time, there is this investigation into time. Then there's the investigation of law. Reasoning. Then with regard to law or reasoning, there are four types. The first is like the laws of dependence, looking into the laws of dependence, that effects depend on causes. Then there's the law of the performance of function, for instance, that water moistens and that fire burns. Then there's the investigation of the laws of nature, the natural law. That fire has a nature of heat, that water has a nature of moistness. It's to investigate the nature of phenomena.
Then logic.
And then the next is the investigation of logic.
Not what is it?
With regard to valid cognition, there are in general, there is in general direct valid cognition and inferential valid cognition. And then with regard to inference, there is inference by the power of the fact, inference through renown, and
그래서
and the the inference by way of belief. Now with regard to inference, signs, what do you say? The signs that are the bases of these inferential consciousnesses are explained.
Because
inference, the incontrovertible knowledge of a hidden topic depends upon what do you say, correct signs or correct reasons. Because it arises in dependence upon correct signs or correct reasons, the topic of correct reasons is very important. These teachers of logic set forth many, many divisions in a very fine way of the various types of logical signs.
A
correct sign, a correct logical sign is something that has the three modes or is the three modes, that with respect to which that sign's being a property of the subject is established, and that its forward pervasion and counter pervasions are also established.
With
respect to logical signs, a division is set forth by way of their entities or nature, these being the three types of effect signs, signs of sameness of nature, and signs of and non-observation signs. In terms of the predicate of the probandum, there are signs of affirmation and signs of negation, or signs of positive phenomena and signs of negative phenomena. And then in terms of the mode of proof, the signs that just prove conventions, convention here means that one is establishing or proving just the name of the phenomenon. You already know the meaning, but need to know the name. Then there are logical signs for one's own benefit and logical signs for other benefits stated to other people. Now all of these are included in the first of those types, the division by way of entity, effect signs, signs of sameness of nature, and non-observation signs. Then in terms of each of these also has many many different divisions. For instance, in the correct effect signs, there are signs that prove a preceding cause, signs that prove a general cause, signs prove a specific cause, and so forth. And in terms of non-observation signs, there are signs of non-observation in which the sign is suitable to appear in which they're not suitable to appear. As signs of non-observation can be further broken down into 11 types, or some scholars even break them down into
25.
Thus, many different signs are set forth because when one states signs either for one's own purpose or for other purposes, independence on the time or type of object and so forth, would need to set forth an effect sign or a non-observation sign, and within non-observation signs, depending on the circumstances, setting forth the non-observation of a cause, the non-observation of an effect, the non-observation of a related object, or the observation of a contradictory object. So it seems that science within these modes of investigation, within the four modes of laws, within the, what do you say, sixth investigation, those four modes of laws, that science is mainly operating in terms of investigating the nature of objects, investigating the function of those objects, and investigating on what other objects those depend in terms of cause and effect. Therefore, it can be explained that these six types of investigation cover all of both scientific and religious research.
Because of these reasons, I always believe the scientific development or scientific research and research work through meditation, I believe can go together. Since finding same object or same object, one through experiment through instrument. One mainly is the experience, or inner experience and meditation like that. So suppose in it happen a serious one, many but a never never did yaw yaw shi bula.
Now we need to make a clear differentiation between what is not found by science and what is found to be non-existent by science.
That's how you turn it, many but some.
What science finds to be non-existent, a Buddhist necessarily must accept as non-existent. But what science doesn't find, is a completely different matter.
You see, I mean, you see, it is quite, you see, quite clear. You see, there are many, many, you see, I'd say, what you call, maybe it's mysterious things. The human mind or human eye, you see, human senses reach certain level, up to certain level. We cannot say, you see, there are nothing beyond that. Nanzu, don't me, around to get, that Gonga Wanshi, you and Dad, it's your Marcel, Dr. Mama.
We can't say that there's nothing beyond what we can perceive with our own five senses.
Nanzu Pala, the Mola, that is the five senses, you can't imagine the delicacy of New York.
For instance, what our own ancestors, well, what our own grandparents couldn't find with their five senses, we are finding nowadays.
So you see, even within the, how to say, chitta form you would have and kala you would have, and that, kada be sugjin chhe na lo lai, tada ngazu mashi bedel maung bal dalu mutin mangu shei ngurwa.
Thus, even within these phenomena that have form, color, and so forth that we can see with our five senses, there will be many things that will be understood in the future that we do not understand now.
Now the other field, like is consciousness itself. Though you see, centuries, right from the beginning, when the sentient being existed, including human being, up to now, you see, every moment we experience in consciousness, yet we do not know. Still, you do not know what is the real consciousness. It is functioning. It is working. The Shiva Kwarangi Rangshin Da Chasanji Tadangashimela.
Even though consciousness is always manifestly operating, until now we haven't understood what the actual nature of consciousness is.
You see, there's such thing. No shape, no form, you see, no color. It is these things are in the category which beyond our kasota.
They are beyond
what?
It's not something that can be understood in the way that external phenomena are investigated.
Oh yeah.
So therefore at 2 o'clock I'll be explaining about the 16 attributes of the Four Noble Truths. And therefore let's leave today there. Question go.
Now you see, anyone who wants to put any question, then please write down on paper. Then collect it.
Yes, if you give them to any of the ushers.
And then
at the beginning of the second session, I will answer the questions.
Thank you.
His Holiness is now begins the Monday afternoon session.
Thank you.
The 16 attributes of the four truths with four attributes for each truth are explained in terms of four misconceptions that are related with each truth. The question is
I forget it. About the question.
Do you think that we in the West must learn to bring the spiritual and scientific paths of investigation together in order to prevent harm to humankind?
I think so. I believe. And without concerning about the spiritual development, and only concentrate or only think the scientific development. If you see, we lose the respect of human value, that is dangerous. That's not good. After all the aim of the scientific progress itself benefit for mankind. So if you see that is a development goes something wrong and bring more suffering or more or say tragedy on mankind, that is how to say, this is sad, unfortunate. So I always believe the mental development as well as the material development go side by side. That is the best way.
Please give examples of the type of phenomena science does not find.
Consciousness. Exactly. As I mentioned earlier, you see, here just a moment, we have the, you see, all different sort of consciousness, and also you see rougher, let's say gross consciousness, as well as the subtler consciousness. So at the when subtler consciousness pasha and when gross consciousness jidisha kaudwa.
Never mind the subtle consciousnesses, it's even difficult to identify the grosser consciousnesses. Hello there. If mind is more than a brain or a bodily phenomenon, why can thinking be altered and controlled through taking drugs or through stimulation of the brain itself?
That I think, you see, there are many different kind of consciousness or mind. You see, certain mind are very much related with this physical. Now, for example, you see, present eye consciousness related with eye. The eye organ. So if this is something happened in the organ, the consciousness cannot function. If our eye organ removed, then the consciousness, that particular consciousness could not remain.
But we should also consider the changing of the eye organs.
According to the latest technical advancement, changing eye organ. That this sounds out language.
That's something that needs newly to be thought about. However, in the past, there are stories of persons giving eyes or even their own bodies in order to help other people. And for instance, in the switching of a heart or the heart operation where one takes the heart of somebody else.
Heart transplant.
This is a case of making use of an organ that is established through the karma of some other person.
Let's see. In early part, that heart belongs to two persons now. You see, two beings. In early part, belongs someone. It's a different person, the latter belong to another person.
Therefore the karma that was done the karma that served to form that heart was
original.
Done by some other person, original.
So now, you see, main question is, so you see, certain consciousness are very much related with the present, you see, organs or brain cells. Now, these consciousness can control through, you see, brain operation or certain electronic method. Nowadays, you see, mind goes more subtler mind, is more subtler, is more independent than this physical, from this physical.
Mm-hmm.
So these mind, difficult to change through physical change.